Hello and welcome to Vanguard Audiobooks. Today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to do an extract from the Liberty Bell publication that did a lot of Revelo Oliver's work decades ago. I think it's closed now. This is from June 1978, Zionism Rules the World by Henry H. Klein, who I think is a Jew. I think that will come up as we move along. But either way, maybe not. The question is the quality of the information. Zionism Rules the World by Henry H. Klein. Extracted from Liberty Bell, June 1978. And I believe I'm mostly working off a webcache or a PDF here, so it's not something I have in hand, but some good information. He says, when Theodor Herzl convened the first Zionist Congress in Basel, Switzerland, on 11-8-97, that's 1897, it was believed that a plan for world colonization of Jews was intended. It was not learned until years later that the meeting discussed a plan for world conquest. That plan is outlined in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, and it has been fully carried out. The world is ruled by Zionism. The United Nations is the symbol of its authority. It is the supergovernment outlined in the protocols. Before Herzl, Zionism was a spiritual dream. The old Orthodox Jew who longed to be buried in Palestine was regarded as a Zionist. Political Zionism was unknown. Since Herzl, Zionism became the instrument for the fulfillment of the protocol for world conquest. Virtually all that has happened to the human race since Herzl is traceable to that plan. Virtually all that has happened to the United States is due to Zionism. In 1904, Kuhn, Loeb & Company financed Japan against Russia. So the rich Jew financiers and manufacturers in the Lower East Side of Manhattan put up the money for the Soviet Revolution, which Jews have been agitating for in Russia for decades. In 1910, Jacob H. Schiff, the most powerful Jew in America, demanded that President Taft abrogate our passport treaty with Russia. In 1917, Schiff, Warburg and their associates, and Lenin, who overthrew the Russian government, their revolutionary followers murdered the Tsar and his family and millions of persons in the Ukraine. When Germany and Britain went to war in 1914, Woodrow Wilson was president. He was re-elected in 1916 on the slogan, "He kept us out of war." In 1917, the United States entered the war on the side of Great Britain after Prime Minister Balfour signed his famous, quote, declaration, unquote, about Palestine, and after Zionist headquarters was moved from Germany to England. The late Louis D. Brandeis okayed the Balfour decision. He was a leading Zionist and a U.S. Supreme Court judge. Zionism was heavily represented at the peace conference in Paris, at the signing of the treaty in Versailles, and at the formation of the League of Nations at The Hague. Frankfurter, related to Brandeis, and Raymond Fosdick, representing the Rockefellers, were there. The League confirmed concessions of water power and Dead Sea chemicals to Russian and British subjects previously given by Turkey. Once established in Russia, Bolshevism spread to other countries. Trotsky wanted world revolution. Lenin wanted America bankrupt. The first step towards Bolshevizing the United States was the organization of a communist cell in Michigan, which was raided by the FBI in 1922. Frankfurter and his cohorts filed charges against the FBI and Hoover. Another manifestation of Zionist power occurred when Putnam's wanted to publish the protocols, which were published in England in 1920. So this would be a non-Jewish publisher wanted to publish the protocols, which came out in the early years of the 1900s. They were firmly told by Lewis Marshall, attorney for Kuhn, Loeb & Company, and probably the second most powerful Jew in America, along with Jacob Schiff. They were told by Lewis Marshall, the head of the AJC, American Jewish Committee, that was founded in 1906, they should not do it. They junked the plates, which were later published by others, so they were intimidated out of publishing this by the Jews when there was still an Anglo element in publishing. In 1932, the Lindbergh baby was kidnapped. Lindbergh was against Roosevelt for president. Frankfurter and his gang were promoting FDR's nomination. Hauptmann was a German communist. Roosevelt recognized the communist government in Russia in November 1933 in spite of vigorous opposition. Some of those who opposed died suddenly. Quote, "They'll never get me out of the White House," said FDR. Communists began to overrun the United States after the recognition. Frankfurter shoved many of them into key positions in the government. Frankfurter and Baruch ran FDR. Baruch declared he was a Zionist. And Baruch was head of the War Production Board First World War, like essentially the economic dictator of the U.S. during World War I. Quote, "We must have anti-Semitism even if we sacrifice some of our own people," say the protocols. "Zionism has been sacrificing Jews for years and is still doing it. Leading Jews finance Stalin besides Trotsky and Lenin. Leading Jews also help finance the prosecution of Native American Christians who were against communism and Roosevelt in 1944. I defended one of them in Washington, D.C. Frankfurter, those were sedition trials. There was a mother's coalition of women that numbered in the millions that was against this war. There was huge anger against this war before Americans ultimately followed along to the destruction of a group trying to defend their race in Europe. So anyway, this Henry Klein is saying that he defended one of these people in D.C. where the trials were. Frankfurt was behind Rogge, I guess it's pronounced R-O-G-G-E, or Rog or Rogge, the prosecutor. One of the newspapers which they started to publicize the prosecution was PM, a New York City daily, of which Julius Rosenwald and Chester Bowles were among the principal owners. Rosenwald was a figure associated with funding the NAACP, a Jewish group, ostensibly serving blacks. When the paper failed, Louis Stix Weiss, a Zionist lawyer, continued it as the star, with the money of Marshall Field, who I'm assuming is related to the retailer or the one it's named after, as Jews dominate most retail clothing. Joe Barnes was editor and Bartley Crum, C-R-U-M, publisher, both left-wingers. Barnes is credited with having written or edited Eisenhower's book, Crusade in Europe. Crum recently renounced communism. The Weiss family has been active in Zionist communist matters. Weiss's sister, Carol Weiss King, was a leading communist lawyer. The Weiss law firm defended Marshall Field and the defunct PM in my libel suit. Of course, I couldn't win. The Zionist used a Catholic judge from upstate New York, a Catholic cardinal in New York City, and my own Jewish lawyer to defeat me. One member of Weiss's firm, that's a German term for white, and it's a common Jew last name, Weiss, W-E-I-S-S. E-I is pronounced I in German, opposite of what it would be pronounced in English. One member of Weiss's firm, a trustee of the Institute of Advanced Study at Princeton, headed by Albert Einstein and J. Robert Oppenheimer, men behind the atomic bomb, one of the trustees of that institute testified as the only character witness for Carlo Marzani of the State Department and OSS, forerunner to the CIA, convicted of perjury in denying he was a communist. Zionists actively oppose investigations of communists in government, like the late FDR did, and they own newspapers and control radio and television commentators. Remember, a lot of the early Jews, before they formally established Israel, a lot of the Jews who were filtering into the area of Palestine were this same really super nasty, murderous, stinky Bolshevik communist murderous type. The people who butchered the white Christians in the Ukraine were largely the same people who went into Palestine, no matter what you're told by conservative liars. Baruch has many press agents, so has Frankfurter, all of which winds up in the answer given by Waldo Frank in the February 1944 issue of the Contemporary Jewish Record, published by the AJC, leading Jewish authority, where he says there is a, quote, "great Jew conspiracy," based on the, quote, "dream for messianic world power," and that, quote, "political Zionism is the instrument for its fulfillment." The protocols have been fulfilled. Zionism rules the world. It created the Second World War because Hitler double-crossed the Jewish and Christian money gang that gave him $100 million, and it will start a Third World War, if necessary, to completely enslave the people, as stated in the protocols. Stalin turned on Zionism and died. Russian delegates to the Zionist supergovernment continue to hobnob and fraternize with American delegates, and Russia still dominates the United States, or the United Nations, with its veto power. The Nuremberg trials killed off German leaders, and the Morgenthau plan buried Germany and gave Russia our money plates. Baruch wants Russia to share the atomic and hydrogen bombs. So this is not a recent document. This is more a mid-century document we're reading. Zionism is not Judaism. It is a terroristic political program. Palestine is not a refuge for poor Jews. It is an investment for about 1,500 American stockholders in the Palestine Economic Corporation and the Chemical Trust of England that owns nearly everything of value there. 1 million Jews were driven there to protect these properties. Zionism doesn't mean Palestine alone. It means the United States and the whole world. Zionism and slavery versus Americanism and freedom. That is the issue that confronts the people of the United States. It is peaceful constitutional government or terroristic United Nations government. The United Nations is Zionism. It is in the supergovernment mentioned many times in the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, promulgated between 1897 and 1905. Zionism is a political program for the conquest of the world. You see, that's as opposed to thinking Zionism is about Jews going to Israel and having their old state back, which is itself a historical lie. He's saying Zionism is actually about terrorism to establish Jewish control of the entire world. So Zionism isn't Jew-specific particularism. It is all-embracing Jew universalism. As stated in the protocols, it is the accomplishment of the mission and agenda outlined in the protocols. Zionism is a political program, to repeat, for the conquest of the world, not the Eastern Mediterranean, the world. Zionist leaders control the United States, Great Britain, France, Russia, and other countries of Europe, and they are using communism to control the rest of the world. They control the atomic and hydrogen bombs. The United States finances world Zionism. We support the UN, the International Bank, Palestine, and many other countries. Our wealth has been scattered to the four winds to satisfy Zionist and money gang purposes. This is about 14 pages, and we're through about six of them. Again, from the Liberty Bell in 1978, extracted. But I believe originally written in the 50s. The aim of Zionism is to enslave the people. That is clearly stated in the protocols, which were written by Theodore Herzl or Asher Ginsburg. Backed by the Rothschilds, they breathe hatred of Christianity and have been handed down in different forms since Jesus revolted against the Sanhedrin, the Council of Rabbis. We have the same story today. Jewish leaders are mad with power and with inordinate wealth extracted from gullible Jews. We are living under the protocol plan. Roosevelt, Truman, and Eisenhower were and are tools and victims of Zionism. The Rockefellers and others of great wealth are under Zionist control. Zionism destroyed Russia using the violence as a warning to other nations. It is destroying the United States through bankruptcy, as Lenin advised. And God, if you wrote that in the 50s compared to today, when we're $19 trillion in debt. Zionism wants another world war, if necessary, to enslave the people. Our manpower is scattered all over the world. Will we be destroyed from within, or will we wake up in time to prevent it? Zionism is using communism to destroy civilization and complete the conquest of the world. That fact is plain and explains every act of so-called betrayal since 1917, and betrayal and particularly since 1932, when Franklin D. Roosevelt was elected president. It explains the conduct of the Rosenbergs, Alger Hiss, Henry Dexter White, Weiss. Hiss was not Jewish, the others were. Harry Dexter Weiss, cum White, and the Rosenbergs, and all other so-called betrayers. They did it for Zionism, which is a program for the conquest of the world by a handful of so-called Jewish leaders. The Zionist program, outlined in the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, promulgated between 1897 and 1905 at Zionist Congress meetings, organized by the late Theodore Herzl, backed by the Rothschilds, who controlled Great Britain, Zionism now also controls the United States, France, and Russia. Jacob H. Schiff, a Zionist backer and associates, and his associates financed the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia in 1917. And he had been he had been supporting and subsidizing, like George Soros in 2017 when I read you this, Russian radicalism and revolutionary communist movements for a lot longer than that. It explains why there is a so-called United Nations dominated by Russia and why it is a refuge for communists chased out of U.S. government jobs after exposure. It explains why Zionist leader Frankfurter was able to shove scores of Zionists and communists into public office under Roosevelt and Truman, and why Barney Baruch, another Zionist leader, controlled Congress. It explains why Native Americans and Christians were persecuted and prosecuted in Washington, D.C. in 1944 for exposing communism and Roosevelt. It explains why Eisenhower says he serves the United Nations and why Churchill proclaims he is a Zionist. It explains why we double-crossed the South Koreans and Chinese nationalists and why MacArthur was fired by Truman. It explains General Marshall's conduct in favoring Chinese communists and the conduct of Lattimore, Jessup, Service et al. In the Institute of Pacific Relations. It explains why France laid down to the communists in Indochina and why the United Nations did little or nothing to help 800,000 Arabs driven from their homes by the Jews in Palestine. It explains why Harry Hopkins gave Russia $11 billion of our wealth, that's under FDR, and why we permitted Russia to grab part of Germany and Poland and all other bordering countries besides Manchuria in Asia. It explains why FDR ordered the investigation of communists stopped and why Zionists demanded that J. Edgar Hoover be fired. It explains all or nearly all of the treacherous and unpatriotic conduct of so-called leading citizens during the past 20 years. It explains the conduct of Albert Einstein and J. Robert Oppenheimer and why public officials and leading citizens who oppose Zionism and communism died suddenly. It explains why the wealth of the United States was squandered to build up other countries. It is a shocking picture that should be quickly blotted out or world cataclysm will follow. Zionism wants another world war. Next subtitle, Zionist Mysteries. So I guess with that remark about the French and Indochina, that was more or less in the 50s and early 60s. So maybe it was written, and this was written a little later than I thought, but I would think it was written before the 1970s at this point, if not the 50s, then early 60s maybe. But either way. So Zionist Mysteries. How did Zionism acquire control of vast funds and foundations? And this is going to be a whole string of questions. How did Zionism acquire control of our government? How did Zionism acquire control of religious and educational systems, newspapers, magazines, movies, radio, and television? How did Zionism acquire control of large industries, banks, real estate, etc.? Why was Louis L. Strauss appointed financial advisor to the Rockefeller boys? Why was Zionist leader Frankfurt permitted to shove Zionists and communists into high public office? Why was Frankfurter permitted to run the White House and Zionist Baruch run Congress? Why was the Lindbergh baby kidnapped before FDR's nomination in 1932? Why was Zionist Morgenthau determined to crush Germany, and why did he give our money plates to Russia? Why did the U.S. lay down to communism in Korea, and France lay down to communism in Indochina? So this would have been written before our involvement in Vietnam. Why was a British airliner shot down over the China Sea after Churchill and Eisenhower conferred? Why were Americans who exposed communism persecuted and prosecuted between 1942 and 1945? Why did FDR order the investigation of communists and government stopped? Why was Zionist communist Goldie Meyerson of Israel permitted to shake down American Jews for $80 million? What has become of the hundreds of millions of dollars collected in the name of Zionism in Palestine? Did all this happen in fulfillment of the protocol plan for world conquest by political Zionism? Next, Hail King Barney. We're on page 10 of 14 now. The fact that the newspapers boosted Barney Baruch in advance of his 84th birthday proves that the press is as senile as Barney, who has done more harm to the Republic of the United States than probably any other person. Barney is a vain old codger who says he is a descendant of ancient King David and that the blood of prophets runs in his veins. He is a Zionist and believes that he will rule the world as per protocol of the learned elders of Zion. Their rulership has ruined civilizations. Barney is the best press agent fake in the U.S. Every newspaper must boost him, and every newspaper man must swallow his conceit. Every member of Congress, with few exceptions, is under his control. All hail King Barney, racetrack potentate, and Wall Street manipulator. Maybe Barney can tell who tapped the AP wires in 1945 and sent out a fake peace report. Stop Zionism and save America. The life of our republic is being crushed out by Zionism, which is a political program for world congress through world destruction. This process has been going on a long time. In the United States, it has reached the stage where it must be stopped, or all that has been held dear in this country will be wiped out. The American people do not understand what is happening. They realize that the character of their country is changing, but they do not know that this is one of the results of the attempt to communize America. Communism is a foreign ideology carried to the United States and other countries by design. As an economic program, it is futile. As a political philosophy, it is useful to those who aim to overthrow governments. There is no communism in Russia, which has state capitalism and slavery. In the United States, communism was used to destroy nationalism, to lay a foundation for world government. At the head in front of this maneuvering was and is Zionism, whose leaders aim to rule the world as per plan outlined in the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, adopted at Zionist congresses between 1897 and 1905. Zionism is now the strongest political force. No large fortune or estate in this country is free from Zionist control. The Rockefellers, Fords, Marshall Fields, Harrimans et al. Must submit to Zionist demands. Zionist leaders stop at nothing to attain their ends. No newspaper is free from Zionist control. It was pathetic to see the Scripps Howard and Hearst chains, these would be Goyish chains, succumb, to see the Times Herald in Washington, D.C. go to Eugene Meyer of the Washington Post, the Jew who bought the Post, who is Barney Baruch's partner. Barney says he's a Zionist. Every large radio and TV chain is under control, and lectures and sermons are written for educators and ministers by Zionists. Business leaders are also influenced by Zionism, which controls capitalism and communism. Every system of education and religion is under control, and lectures and sermons are written for educators and ministers by Zionists. Business leaders are also influenced by Zionism, which controls capitalism and communism. In view of all these facts, it is well to ponder how to recover our freedom. Zionism has destroyed our national patriotism and morale in trying to fulfill what Waldo Frank says in the February 1944 issue of Contemporary Jewish Record, that there is a great Jew conspiracy based on the dream for messianic world power, and that political Zionism is the instrument for its fulfillment. May the Lord have mercy on us. The threat. The following is a copy of a letter received by me in Judge Eicher, E-I-C-H-E-R, Judge Eicher's court, Washington, D.C., during the so-called sedition trial on May 26, 1944. So they're illegally tying up people who resisted the war effort. You know, they know it's bogus, but they know they'll tie up their activities and their time and their money until it doesn't matter any longer. And then they'll let them go, and no one will care because they control the media anyway. So this guy who defended one of these people in a sedition trial gets a letter. The letter is written in longhanded ink. I have the original, Henry H. Klein. Here's the letter from a S. Goldsmith. Your remarks at the sedition trial were quite enlightening. Your address was a masterpiece. Such a masterpiece as could only be born in the mind of a renegade of the lowest scum of the earth. You have done the Jewish people such harm as Hitler and his wildest mental ravings could not have conceived. The writer knows you personally, having met you socially, and I assure you, without making any wild threats, that you are being provided for. No matter how low a man may fall, there is always a small spark of decency in him. That small spark, if in you, will someday flare up and consume you in a fire worse than hell's hottest. Remember, your conscience is always with you, even in your sleep, and you do not deserve a moment's peace, having allowed yourself to fall to such depths as to plead for the Bundist, the German-American Bund, and in the same foul breath discredit your parents and people of your own faith. S. Goldsmith. So he's trying to be shamed by a fellow Jew. And that's why I said I thought he was a fellow Jew. The fulfillment. Following receipt of the above threat, I received many other threats by mail and telephone because of the vicious propaganda against the defendants in the crooked sedition case. Attempts were made to poison me in Washington, D.C. and to knock me off otherwise in New York City. My telephone wires have been tapped most of 10 years and my mail stolen. Clients and friends were warned to keep away from me, and word was sent out by the Jewish Kabbalah to starve Klein. The Jewish Gestapo made good on its threat in the courts. I have been the target of Jewish animosity since 1944 when I dared to defend a Christian, without fear retainer, who was being framed by Zionists and communists because he exposed communists and Roosevelt. And finally, Zionism is treason. Zionism is treason. It is a program for the political conquest of the world, including the United States. The United Nations is its instrument. It is the supergovernment mentioned many times in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, promulgated at Zionist congresses between 1897 and 1905. Zionist leaders defy Congress. Einstein and Oppenheimer were redesignated as heads of the so-called Institute of Advanced Study at Princeton, New Jersey. What do they teach in this institute? The protocols say we will teach our own rule. Is the institute affiliated with the Zionist, Communist, New School of Social Research in New York City or with the Zionist Fabian School of Economics in London? That's the New School is the Frankfurt School from Germany where the German Communist Jews were carrying it on. Flushed by Hitler, they wound up and created the New School in America. And he's saying Eisenhower and Oppenheimer, the creators of these bombs, are associated with it. What are they teaching? He says the protocols say we will teach our own rule. The Zionist plan of government is outlined in the protocols. It is totalitarianism and slavery. A great Jew conspiracy based on the dream for messianic world power, and that political Zionism is the instrument for its fulfillment. As explained by Waldo Frank in the February 1944 issue of the Contemporary Jewish Record, published by the American Jewish Committee, leading Jewish authority. This committee helped create the United Nations organization. And then again, this article, that's the end of it, and it says, this article appeared in the June 1978 issue of the Liberty Bell, which it's known to me, at least most famously, as the host for Revelo Oliver's later writings, which we will eventually record. Anyway, that concludes, I guess it's Jew Henry Klein's Zionism Rules the World from the Liberty Bell publication in June of 1978. Thanks for being with me today, and I'll be back with you again real soon.